Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm quite warm. I'm quite stuffy.
Oh, yeah?
But I remembered something I completely forgot to tell you that did over the weekend. I went and saw Toy Story 4.
What? You did forget
this. We haven't spoken about this.
Oh, what is going on? Why didn't you tell me?
I just completely forgot.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's a testament to the film. It's really good. It's really, really good.
My friend Tom said the same thing last night, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people, though, saying it's the best of the franchise.
Strong words.
And it puts me in that position again that you sometimes do, where I really, really enjoy a movie, but it's not the greatest thing ever made.
But you actually hate it.
You're talking about, arguably, the finest trilogy ever made.
Well, I mean, I'm also one of those people that says, you know, the first one doesn't hold up on a rewatch.
It does.
Story-wise, but I think the animation's actually a little bit hard to get past.
Oh, that's harsh.
Days. 1995, when I was 10 years old, blew my mind. Absolutely. But going back, knowing where Pixar are now, going back, it's like, I'd imagine it's like what people tell me. It's like, you can't go back and watch a VHS. Whereas I totally can, because I don't see the difference between VHS and a Blu-ray. But I can see the difference between 2019 Pixar and 1995 Pixar.
It's like Jurassic Park. Wow, those dinosaurs don't look that real.
Well, that's not true at all. Jurassic Park 100% stands up.
Well, the animatronics certainly do.
And the CGI does.
Oh, come on,
yeah,
man.
Totally the CGI stands up.
It's dodgy. But it's rightfully dodgy. That was made almost 30 years ago.
It was 1993.
Exactly. But, you know, where it falls down there, and I always think this is the problem, is you're mixing CG with the real world. However, in Toy Story, all CG, there's no reference point to throw you off. I think Toy Story and the Captain America trilogy are probably amongst...
I'd say the exact same thing.
The finest trilogies ever.
Because as much as I'd say that the first one might not hold up as much as you possibly remember from 1995, it is still a 5-star movie, and so is Toy Story 2, and so is Toy Story 3, whereas a lot of other trilogies always have that dodgy third or a dodgy second or something along those lines. I love Back to the Future. I think Back to the Future is an incredible trilogy of films, but I don't think the third one is as good as the other two.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars... They're amazing.
You're right.
They're
Return of the Jedi is not as good as Empire or the first one.
Yeah, but with the ones we're talking about, sometimes arguably they get better. I would say Toy Story, though, is all consistently incredible.
As is Captain America, not The Dark Knight.
But the Toy Story 4, loved it. But I'm not really thinking about it the day after.
Interesting.
I warned my lady partner. I said, just full disclosure, when I saw Toy Story 3 at the cinema, I burst out crying within a minute. And it's just when, so, you know, I think in Toy Story 3, you've got the dream sequence, really, of Ham taking on, and it's, you know, it's all in the West.
Wonderful.
Brilliant.
Wonderful opening sequence.
But then it sort of pans up for the Toy Story logo, and it's... with the blue sky and the white clouds. And for whatever reason... just because, you know, all my childhood came back to me. It's one of those movies that my entire family love as well, which is very rare in my family.
I think that's very rare for a lot of families.
Like, getting my mum to sit through an entire movie is impossible. Mm. But she adores Toy Story, like, because she sees me as Andy.
Oh,
that's
right.
How I used to play with my, you know, so she's very much attached to it, same as my mum and dad, no, same as my dad and sister. So it's very, so when I saw the clouds, even in Toy Story 4, the exact same thing happened. I was snot crying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was like a minute in. It was a hard start. Like, I fell right out of the gate. But then I cried two other times. My lady partner cried. Only one child was in that audience.
Wow.
And I heard a lot of sniffling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was many a tear shed there. And some of the voice work is excellent. But overall, I just feel like, really... the story did end
with three.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I always said about it. Because I quite liked the spin-off shorts that they did. Toy Story of Terror. I think that's what it was called.
And one where they went to space.
I don't remember the space one.
There was one where they went to prehistoric
times. Prehistoric times is the one I'm thinking of, yeah. Where they discover like the prehistoric toy sets and they go and... so they don't go to prehistoric times. There is a prehistoric toy set and they go and hang out with them. But the third film, I think, is just such a perfect closure to a trilogy of movies that I didn't want another adventure. I think stories have a finite point. So actually why I'm really grateful that The Good Place announced last month that this season's going to be the last one.
Oh, I missed that. That's good.
Yeah, because they're like, we have an end to this show. Yeah. We don't want to over-egg... the pudding. We don't want to overstay our welcome.
Do a Lost.
This is our end point. Like Dexter. Dexter was the exact same thing. Dexter could have ended at season 4 or 5, but it decided that it was going to keep going and then had its awful final season, which was absolutely dog muck. Whereas Toy Story, perfect ending.
I feel like you got the intonation wrong there.
I was about to say that.
What's that?
Toy Story. My mum does this with Amsterdam. She goes, Amsterdam. I can't even do it. She does it wrong. So, yeah. Mum, stop speaking wrong.
Well, I apologise for speaking wrong.
Anyway, so I do very much recommend it if you're on the fence or haven't seen how well it's been received. I think it's like 100% or
it's good,
close to on Rotten Tomatoes.
Also, the biggest box office opening of the franchise.
Really?
Yeah. And it's been...
But it was below projections.
But it was below projections, but everything's been below projections. Men in Black was way below projections, and so was Shaft.
I can't wait to see that. On demand. You know those movies where you're like, I'm not getting out of my house for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it on demand.
I'll end up seeing that one on demand. But where I had the 2 weeks off, I've fallen behind on films. So I'm going to have to catch up on a few things on demand. Child's Play, one of the biggest Child's Play fans you're ever likely to meet. I didn't get to see because it came out while I was away. And then by the time I got back, it was pretty much out of cinemas. I had the opportunity to go see it on Monday.
It's a testament of a good movie.
Oh, isn't it just? Yeah.
Yeah, it falls out. Just after a week.
I didn't actually see how well it did either. But I think it only had like a small release. But I had the opportunity to see it on Monday. But it was either at 5:10 when I haven't finished work or at 9:15 when I just want to be home. Like that's because if I finish work at 6, then I've still got 2 hours and 45 minutes to kill on my own before I can go and watch a film. So I was like, I have to catch up on demand.
On demand.
And same with Brightburn. I really wanted to see that. I'm going to have to catch that up on demand, I guess. I'm hoping not to have the same problem with Midsommar.
I was just going to say Midsommar really after we drunkenly talked about it on Ramble Club.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right, because I said Hereditary is a 3-star movie. And, and everyone loved it for some bizarre reason.
Yeah, and I argued that. But yeah, it was weird. I was on the tube on Monday... and I saw the Midsommar poster, and I just got a flashback of Friday evening with you and Laurie drunk, and me yelling Midsommar. And it wasn't just one person who was drunk. We were all as drunk as each other, and you both going, yeah, it looks really good, man. But yeah, it's like we're all on cocaine.
we weren't just on Pisco.
Pisco.
Child's Play, for the record, did 24 million domestic on a 10 million budget.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. So, get a sequel out of that.
Just make them cheap.
It's the Jason Blum argument that you and I have been... We've been beating that drum now for, God, years and years and years. He's the smartest man in Hollywood.
That's what WrestleTalk's based on. Make it cheap and hope a lot of people watch it.
Exactly. We'll get into some of your emails in the outro portion of this podcast. But for now, here is the show where we're going to be talking about Kevin Owens turning babyface. Here is the show.
It's a babyface again after, what, was that 6 weeks?
About six weeks. So this comes from Meltzer. It said, it's very clear that this is a babyface turn for Owens, who just turned heel a couple of months ago. I hate turns back and forth, but originally he was supposed to be a babyface. The heel turn was a large last-ditch effort because Daniel Bryan got hurt, but now he's back. They just got him where they wanted him originally.
But they didn't want him as a tag champion.
Well, no,
surely.
But they wanted to turn babyface.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought they got him where they wanted Daniel Bryan to be.
No. As in, like, so...
Owens.
Yeah, so Owens was meant to have this big babyface comeback just after WrestleMania. No, it was... He was meant to be at WrestleMania, wasn't he?
Yeah, so they started running the first promos for this just after the Rumble, where Kevin Owens was playing up this everyman character. He'd be on his mobile phone, if you can remember.
Going to the cinema with his kid.
Yeah, going bowling.
Yeah.
And he'll just, like, you know, give his kid change and say, hey, you haven't given me all the money back. Funny blue-collar stuff.
Exactly.
But then he came back and he still played up the babyface thing, even though Vince McMahon chose him over Kofi to face Daniel Bryan for the title.
But you meant to forget that bit.
Yeah. There's many bits they're going to smooth
sure
over.
I'm sure there was a storyline reason for him picking Charlotte Flair as well.
Yeah. It's Vince.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, he was a baby face. He even joined the New Day when Big E got injured. Excellent storyline. Lasted a week. He turned on them.
Well, that
and
was
then
it.
Heel.
Because Bryan got hurt. So the original plan for bringing Owens back was it was going to be Bryan and Owens at WrestleMania. But then Kofi got hot, so Owens didn't have any plans for WrestleMania. And actually went home. He wasn't even there at WrestleMania. He just thought, well, I'm not booked. There's no point in me being there. I'm going home.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, he came back. Big E was hurt. Daniel Bryan was also hurt. Kofi needed a new challenger. So they were like, we'll turn Kevin Owens heel then. But Bryan's back now. So we don't need Owens as a heel. They just flopped him back to being a babyface.
I mean...
Which really always helps momentum.
Yeah. It's especially because... So they made the right decision at WrestleMania. They should have gone with Kofi.
100%.
And we applaud WWE for that because they went with momentum. And it's made Kofi into an absolutely amazing main eventer, really. You know, the caliber of opponents he's had is another question, but very good there. And then, you know, the stuff happens with Owens. There's also just been wild cards and everyone's fallen prey to the mid-card vortexes of Shane and Baron. But then, at Stomping Grounds, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens had my favourite match of the night against the New Day. Mm. And they won. And I thought, you know what? Zayn and Owens versus the New Day versus Heavy Machinery versus Bryan and Rowan. That could be a freaking golden era of tag team wrestling again. Just like when you had the New Day and the Usos and
the bar
before. And, you know, further back, Dudley's, Edge and Christian and the Hardys. And you can use all those three established main eventers.
And the Right to Censor.
Sorry, yes. To bring up Heavy Machinery. Of course, that's not happening.
Because 2 days later... Owens walked out on Sami Zayn in a tag match, effectively splitting up that team, I guess.
So that's a shame.
That's a shame. And now he's babyface while Sami Zayn, I guess, is still a heel. He's not been on TV this week. So that act is split up. Why give them a win at Stomping Grounds then, is it? Because who's going for the tag titles at the next pay-per-view? The bloody losers of that match.
Okay, but it's hard not to get sucked into criticism, isn't it? Let's stay with the Kevin Owens babyface stuff because... I thought this was far more effective than his kind of... It wasn't half-assed when he did the comeback as a babyface earlier in the year. It was just... It never felt right because it was all the Kofi stuff and he came back as with Vince McMahon. And
exactly,
they
mismanaged it from the get-go.
So this was much better. Started off with the Kevin Owens show. His first guests are Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre, where he did his funny thing where he's got his little pre-prepared prompting cards. Mm-hmm. The best in the changes the card world. He also did Under Taker,
yes,
which is very funny. And they come down, and I thought, well, I've seen this before. It's the heels; they're all going to congratulate each other. But that's not the way it went. Kevin Owens started off poking the bear a bit, saying, oh, it looked like you were scared of The Undertaker in one of these thousands of Raw replays we're going to do on this episode. And then, you know, Shane makes it a no-holds-barred match at Extreme Rules, just drops that in there for their tag match against Reigns and Undertaker. And then KO really heavily starts to lay into them. Yeah, look, like skips a few cards and says...
Well, he goes, no, look, there's a clip here. You are afraid of The Undertaker. Mm. There's a clip of Shane and Drew bailing out of the ring. And then Shane says, look, let's stick to the approved question.
Yes.
If you don't mind. So then he asks one of the approved question, which is like, why are you so great? Or something along those lines. But then he's like, no, I'm going to ask the question. Why are you afraid of The Undertaker? And then, you know, why do you this, that, and the other? Effectively, he's almost turning babyface, firing up himself. And then Dolph Ziggler's still here, apparently. Dolph Ziggler comes out. And then Kevin Owens is just like, I don't want to hear you talk about how it should have been me because you had your chance and you kept losing.
Owens cut an amazing promo here.
Yeah.
He just, it was as if the crowd and all the viewers at home channeled through him into this promo. And he was very passionate. I've been saying for about a month now that Owens feels like he doesn't care about what he's doing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like he's
doing, on autopilot.
Yeah, he's doing his job, but it's not the Owens that we usually see. Even when he's in rubbish stuff, there's still something more there. But the last month he's just been on autopilot. Here, he goes on this amazing rant against Dolph Ziggler. It was like, it should have been me. Yeah, and it was 8 years ago, kind of, for a bit.
Yeah.
And I think Dolph has another line where he says, the only thing you're winning is a hot dog eating contest.
He goes, the only thing you should be competing in is a hot eating contest. He's like, well, at least I'd win, which is more than you can say.
Yeah, brilliant. It was like everything Owens did here was already establishing that babyface turn later on.
Yeah.
Granted, that's a story better told over weeks. But if you're going to do it in an episode, this was a very effective way of doing it.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if when Bischoff takes over, he turns him heel again?
I fully expect that to happen. He won't have a clue what to do with a guy like Owens.
No. It's not really his wheelhouse, is it?
No. A guy who doesn't look like a stereotypical big guy wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was bad was how this segment just ended.
Yeah, okay, so I was thoroughly confused at the end of this segment because they both said, we want WWE Championship matches.
Yeah.
And Shane said, well, how about we have a tag team match where you two team up with Heavy Machinery and the winners get added into the Triple Threat match at Extreme Rules? So I was thinking the Joe Kofi match.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's the storyline we had last week as well. And I was like, God, yeah, Dolph getting another shot at this. And then we cut backstage and Brian and Rowan are walking there and Kayla walks up to them. And Brian's like, Shane's always stacking the odds against me. And I'm like, is he?
Yeah.
I thought you just had a straight tag match. And then Kofi and Big E kind of promo and said like, maybe it'll be it's going to be a triple threat tag team match. So I was like, oh, and then a graphic came up saying the winners are going to go into the tag team triple threat. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
I'll go back and amend my notes then.
I was also very confused. And judging by the crowd reaction and the people in the ring, so was everybody else. Because Shane says that. And I went through the same thought process. I thought, okay, so but it can't be both guys because that would be a four-way. Maybe Shane misspoke. Maybe it's meant to be a four-way. But then I thought, maybe it's the guy who gets the pin.
That's what I thought.
I was trying so hard to help WWE.
I rewound because I got, clearly I missed something.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I didn't.
And yeah, so the crowd are completely flat. Shane and Drew exit. And then it is just this awkward, it was probably only 5 seconds, but it felt a lot longer.
Play my music.
Yeah, Dolph and Owens just looking at each other. And the commentators don't really know what to say either. Owens, like a pro, just says, well, it's my show, play my music, I'm out of here. And then at least there's a thing, there's like a jolt of energy to end the segment on. But yeah, That was botched.
Yeah, I was when I was writing up my SmackDown review, I was trying to find the best way to word this in a scripted format. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to say that Shane said it was a triple threat tag match.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the easiest way to get around it.
Then they had Dolph and Owens had a segment backstage later on where they agreed to work together.
Because Kevin Owens was like, you know, Shane's kind of got a point. We have had our shots and we haven't taken them. So maybe we can make this work.
Mm.
And, you know, it felt like a genuine moment from Owens.
Yeah. Sort of feeding that babyface character and a new dynamic for him. And the main event segment, which was really, I appreciated a effectively number one contenders match to the tag titles, main event in a show. Mm-hmm. Just like how the US title's been main eventing Raw. It really helps elevate those divisions and the championships. But you have Brian and Rowan out there on commentary, the New Day were out there on their
so
pancake
many
table.
Ringside.
Yeah. And I liked how the New Day took it more seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't joking around. They were trying to create some tension with Brian and Rowan.
As seriously as you can when you're sat at a giant orange table that is covered in pancakes.
Yeah. But just a few minutes into this match, the New Day and Brian and Rowan just go crazy at ringside. Rowan claw slams Xavier through the pancake table. And this whole episode was much better for 2 out of 3 falls matches. In fact, there were no examples of it
not
up until
one.
This point.
They actually really handled it well up until this main event.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, they've gone to break. They can just come back and they don't have to restart the match. The match can just carry on. No, restart the match.
The match is restarted.
But it was really good with Heavy Machinery getting over their spots. Otis is, of course, very charismatic and fantastic. Tucker's good, man.
Tucker is good. It's just because Tucker gets overshadowed because Otis is Otis. Because he's the one that's running around going, "We're coming!" And exactly, and doing the caterpillar and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, Tucker is the Grandmaster Sexay of this act. Just as good as Scotty, but he hasn't got that big spot that everyone loves. Ergo, everyone remembers Scotty and not Grandmaster.
Yeah, but Tucker's doing... He's a big guy. Otis is a different kind of big guy, but Tucker's a large person.
Otis is as wide as he is tall.
Yeah. But Tucker's doing flips and he did a moonsault off the top turnbuckle or something at Stomping Grounds as well. So, yeah, this was a fine match. It was more to get over Heavy Machinery, which it should be because they ended up winning. They'll be added to the Kofi versus Samoa Joe match, right?
Later, yeah, and it's still a triple threat.
And what happened was Dolph Ziggler accidentally superkicks Owens. Owens falls out the... then they throw Dolph out. Owens takes the pin,
yep,
and Heavy Machinery win. So afterwards, Owens just stunners Dolph.
And then the show goes off the air.
Yeah. So and as Owens is screaming at the camera, this is my show.
This is my show.
Yeah.
And it was like a big sort of fiery babyface moment for Kevin Owens. And I guess we're getting a match between the two of them in Extreme Rules, which... Maybe it's just Dolph, but like I'm not going to care about a match between those two.
At least he can beat him.
Yeah, I suppose.
At least Owens can get a win.
He can get a win to kickstart this babyface run.
It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, that's definitely the direction they're going with for Owens. I don't know where he goes from there. Maybe like a feud with Joe if Joe moves away from Kofi. It's exciting stuff because I love Owens, and this seems like a much better use of... Well, It's so much better than what they have been doing with him. And when
him and Sammy.
Yes, and we could have had a prolonged storyline of him with the New Day as well.
Yes.
But all those bits aside, at least he's getting a proper singles thing here, and hopefully they stick with it. It'd be interesting to see what happens when he does run into Sami Zayn again.
Yeah. Maybe that should just be WWE's motto, or our new motto for WWE. Well, at least they're doing something.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they're doing something. And something else that's happening is this Saturday in Nottingham, England, is
beautiful part of the country.
Frontline Wrestling Show, which is one of the promotions we partnered with. It was founded by Will Ospreay, and they're putting on a show in the afternoon, followed by another show from WrestleGate Pro, one of our other partner promotions, who are putting on Emerald Cup tournament, which is just looks amazing. I can't go, I'm at a wedding. But you've got Bobby Guns is going to be there facing Nathan Cruz.
Yep.
Callum Newman, the WrestleTalk scholarship guy, he's going to be wrestling on both shows.
He's on both shows, isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. Rampage is there.
Rampage is there. It looks really, really good. So click the links in the video description below if they're there.
Me and Laurie had an absolutely awesome time at the WrestleGate Pro show they did a couple of months ago. So the one with Hangman Page yeah. and Pac. It was absolutely brilliant. It was really, really good. And you loved Frontline when you went there while I was away.
Really fun, really fun. So a double dose of wrestling. Make a weekend of it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're going to say thank you to our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon too. So thank you. Expect a fight.
I'm expecting Woo-hoo! It. I'm expecting it. Astounding Abdullah Alenzi.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
No. Oh, yeah. Nathan, for you, Ford. It's kind of like nothing.
Hey, Nathan, for you is a TV show.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like nothing for you.
No, well, Nathan, for you is a TV show.
I don't know that.
Yeah. Little drummer boy, Scott Drummonds.
Woo! Nice. Woo!
Andy Dadson's number one fan, Tomo.
Tomo.
Thank you, Tomo.
Rob Steiner Recliner.
Oh, you can't get out of it. Good rhyme. Get out of it. Yo, Adrian! Rocky!
Yeah! I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
Yeah. Good. Bad connection, Thomas Lagden.
Yes.
Lagging.
Lagging,
yes.
Lagging. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Woo!
And lastly, leader of the boys, Dalton Sizemore.
Woo! That's the Dalton Castle thing. Anyway, let's get over to Randy Andy Datsun with our super chat.
Yes, and a few notices to start with. Sorry to the people who had a random YouTube advert at the beginning of the stream.
Oh, really?
It seems to have also caused some people who joined late to... Apparently the stream only started when you start talking about Kevin Owens. So sorry to those people. It only seems to have been the people who joined a bit late.
Well, I'm glad there's an advert.
Yeah.
But I also apologies for your viewing experience.
Yeah. I think the adverts are fairly common.
Yeah.
On streams.
Okay.
When you first join them.
Oh, it was one person said it. Anyway. And apparently Shane did say that it was a triple threat. A few people were going, how did they miss that?
No.
Yeah, he did say it was
he did a triple threat, but we thought it was a triple threat for the WWE Championship.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were pretty clear with that.
And we have two birthdays. Cam Cross and David Herrera have said it's their birthday, so I thought
happy
we'd give
them a little
shout out to them. But we will start our super chats now, as we often do, with Tim Arndt, who says, I laughed a little at Joe's reaction to Kofi flipping him off. I thought that he did such a goofy sell.
I couldn't see it.
Yeah,
he was too busy blocking the middle finger.
I saw the back of his head.
Yeah.
Wasn't the best shot in the world, was it?
No. Jobber JJ says, WWE is going edgy. Is this finally the change promised in December?
No.
Did they promise edgier content in December? Also, it's just like, is flipping someone off edgier content?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do it on a daytime show.
It's still a PG product, though.
It's definitely edgier content. That doesn't automatically make it good, though.
No, well, yeah, quite. Especially maybe that's what I mean.
Especially if you can't see it. I mean, if I do that and you then flip me off.
Which we are all the time.
Obviously are, yeah.
when
as soon as I do this. Small Afro Games, who is...
Jaron Walker
says, "What's the difference between a..." Oh yeah, we're gonna read this out.
You can do that one.
"What's the difference between a lima bean and a chickpea?"
I've never had a lima bean on my face.
Ah,
edgy. WrestleTalk's getting edgy.
It's WrestleTalk After Dark. Is Eric Bischoff running this show?
Jobber JJ says, "The women's division feels like 205 Live. Nobody cares why."
I did say in my review that'll be going up after this has gone live. Or is live, I should say, that I think the Ember Moon versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville is WWE's blandest storyline. Mm. It's not bad. It's just bland.
Yeah.
It's just there, taking up very small amounts of time on TV.
Greg Lambert loves it. Michael Dominguez says, "Terrible show. I'm so sorry it was in San Antonio." I think he was there, possibly. "So sorry it was in San Antonio. Kofi is a joke. Needs to go back to the mid-card. Triple H should just run SmackDown. New Day mid-card vortex."
Ooh.
Harsh.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed the show, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I gave it a smack bang in the middle.
Yeah.
Just because I thought it was like... It was a show.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And an average show is a success at the moment in my eyes.
Mm, yeah. I actually, very, very good point. But I did joke. I was like, I can't believe I'm sat here in 2019 going like, can't wait for Eric Bischoff to show up and do something. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Michael Dominguez again says, "Do you think the gimmick is that no one shows up for Black?"
Oh, what? At the pay-per-view?
Knockdown Ginger. That's half the
Do you know, me and Pete even joked about that last week, saying like, oh, it's probably like it's Uber Eats or something, or it's just someone knocking on the door and running it. Knock, knock, leg it, as we used to call it. But yeah, actually, it turns out that's exactly what it was. Someone played knock, knock, leg it. But also that means then, because like he's challenged the person who knocked on the door to show up. So that person who then shows up is a coward, I guess, because they ran away when he opened the door.
It'll be Big Show or something, won't it?
Could you imagine?
Chris Merriman says, "Howdy, y'all. This isn't how Super Chats usually work, but I was at the show last night. Any questions about it or live events in general I can help with?"
How many people were actually there?
Yeah, I haven't seen any pictures of that this time around.
No. So, yes, if you can answer that. Real Man Coop, thank you very much for your donation.
Thank you.
Joshua Gray says, "If you add an Adam to the show, you gain 100,000 subs."
Oh, either Adam, sure.
Jonathan Hedman says, "Marvel has Worldbreaker Hulk. We've got Worldbreaker Randy Andy. P.S. Spider-Man was great, especially the post-credits."
No,
post-credits chats, because we haven't seen it.
He said it was good.
Yeah, no, but even so, like I'm after Endgame, I'm just on edge.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it. I haven't seen it.
Because when we went to go see Endgame, just before we went in, some guy just shouted out a major plot point from the end before we even went in.
Didn't they?
Yeah, the Batman turned up.
Yeah. Still shocking.
Let's do five more. Ronce Rahan says, "Don't Ali's promo seem like the positive alternative to Sean O'Hare's devil's advocate gimmick?"
I don't remember Sean O'Hare's devil's advocate gimmick.
It ran for a very short amount of time, but it was during that period where you and I weren't watching. I've only seen it in sort of like hindsight bits.
Can you do your devil's advocate impression of Al Pacino? Has it got a swear in?
Can you
do it without the swear?
It's Keanu Reeves saying, like when he walks into Al Pacino's apartment, who's the devil, if you haven't seen the film. And he's a lawyer, get it? Because devils are lawyers, or lawyers are devils. And he walks in and he doesn't see a bed. He's like, well, where does he jog? And Pacino just walks in and goes, "Everywhere!"
Will Adams, who's Luke Owen's number one fan, says, "Last week I suggested Alistair getting Ding Dong ditched as a joke, but apparently Creative took it literally."
Yeah, I was going to say, there it is.
Yeah.
Gagandeep Singh says, "Maria, I'm pregnant. Dolph, it should have been me.
It should have been me."
Everywhere.
RJ Kalmarin says, "At Extreme Rules, Roman to turn on The Undertaker and shake Shane's hand."
Oh, can you imagine?
Roman joins the Omni-Shane. Then you can have Roman as Roman and Drew as a dominant tag team.
Good grief.
With Shane carrying the belts.
Well, let's get on with
I think we'll leave it for there.
Let's get on with the full SmackDown review, and we'll get to the rest of your super chats after that. So it opened with Todd Phillips doing his... Someone asked in
for the
comments.
I was going to say.
We do know it's Tom Phillips, but we find it funny to call him Todd.
Yeah.
But it's off the Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho run when they never got his name right, as a joke. But they do the somber voice, very serious situation that has affected all of us here in WWE. Stupid. But it was the Strowman-Lashley set break spot from Raw.
All of a sudden, for whatever reason, these two are being presented as like the biggest stars in the company. That, can you believe, Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman might not be on the show tonight. And granted, that's a good thing, because you should be presenting your people as stars. It's just so jarring when a week ago they were having a tug of war.
Yeah. I think... I am able to just compartmentalize and turn off everything that's come before it. And I'm just pretending the story began on Monday.
And that's exactly what they want you to do.
Yeah. And otherwise I'll go crazy. And I really like this. I mean, of course, it's mock somber and it's stupid. But the fact that they're replaying that spot, they're making such a big deal of it, I really, really applaud. Because usually when they do these tiny little spots, they're on to the next thing next week. And it doesn't make them feel special. Whereas I feel like... we'll remember this bit. There must be so many Braun spots like this that I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this will...
the grappling hook.
Yeah, this will be in the top three just because of how they followed it up.
Yes.
Then we got the Kevin Owens show opening segment and the Daniel Bryan backstage interview confirming that it is a triple threat tag match.
I was still confused at this point. It was Woods and Big E that more or less confirmed it for me, and then a graphic came up to really cement home...
Yeah, and then after that, Daniel Bryan was making his way down to the ring to take on Big E. Big E and Xavier Woods had a lovely little bit in the gorilla position where they talked to Kayla Braxton before going out. Kayla Braxton, the only generic interviewer on this episode.
Not Renee was there as well.
No, she wasn't.
She was.
And what segment?
With Heavy Machinery. She interviewed Heavy Machinery later on.
Ah, I thought it was a Kayla run all the way through.
And it's annoying because I've got a run of Kayla stuff in my... review today, which I had to re-record because I called her Dasher in all of my original rushes.
Dasher's not even with the company anymore.
And then I realized later on, oh no, it wasn't Kayla with Heavy Machinery. It was not Renee. Dang it. Oh well.
Dang it.
I'm not going to re-record for a third time. I'll just cut that bit out of the review.
Anyway, Big E does his New Day intro spiel, and you can see him doing it backstage, which... I really enjoyed
this.
Yeah. And then they came out and they had a pretty good match, I felt. It was nicely structured. Daniel Bryan's doing these shoulder tackles, trying to get Big E off his feet at the start, then eventually gets him down through wrestling.
It's a nice dynamic because you've got Big E can do the big power wrestling, but often he could be very jokey as well, which then kind of winds up the people that are trying to do very serious wrestling. Because you've got Daniel Bryan trying to, as you say, do some shoulder tackles and knock him down, but Big E will just get him some octopus stretch and spank him a little bit.
Yeah. We got the shrink screen ad break rather than restarting the match.
Which does beg the question, why aren't they all just shrink screen ad breaks?
I think that's probably a network decision.
But they're both on USA Network.
Yeah.
So they could do it.
But not all the ad breaks are shrink screen ad breaks.
So I'd imagine that the advertisers are paying less to get the shrink screen ones.
So then Brian, so it comes back and it's sort of Big E's making his comeback when it's the full screen version again. They go a bit back and forth, but Rowan attacks Big E behind the referee's back by pushing him into the ring post. Then Xavier tries to save him, but Rowan claw slams him or something. Brian hits the knee for the win.
Yeah.
A nice little match.
Yeah, nice. Really enjoyed it, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Good short match.
I wouldn't say I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was 3 minutes, and I really enjoyed those 3 minutes.
R-Truth was backstage with Braxton here, and they replay the stuff. There were so many Raw replays.
Of course, was it SmackDown?
I know. But again, you never get SmackDown replays on Raw.
Well, no, it's not an important show. Nothing important happens. This show is a case in point. Nothing important happens.
I honestly feel like there was probably 8 to 9 minutes of Raw replays on this episode.
Yeah.
And overall, the show's only 90 minutes long when you cut out all the ad breaks.
And then when you look at what happened on Raw and what happened on SmackDown, could you imagine on Raw next week them replaying anything of this show being like, well, this big thing happened on SmackDown?
I guess Owen's turning face. But well, only... Owen's stunner in Dolph, but yeah, I don't see that happening at all. But Truth is doing an interview backstage, and he said he's heard Drake Maverick's in town today, and he's going to come for him.
This was never followed up on.
No.
No. I actually thought there was going to be the payoff, because he said, I've heard that Hornswoggle and his wife are here tonight, and I'm going to win back my 7-Eleven TV championship. I thought there was going to be a Hornswoggle cameo with him confusing him and trying to pin him, like, with a referee. And the referee would be like, that's not Drake Maverick. And he'd be like, what? What are you talking about? Of course it is. Mm. But there wasn't. There was no follow-up to it whatsoever. But Dasha, who had a string of mwah, I did it again.
What the hell's wrong with you?
It's because it's in my notes as Dasher.
I think you have to take a shot of Pisco every time you call Kayla Dasher.
It's really upsetting as well because Kayla's so good. She's my new favorite backstage interviewer. Charlie's too mean.
Mean Charlie Caruso is where it's at.
Mean Charlie is fun. Because it's fun to laugh at her. Basically, people are like, well, you're a big smelly loser. But Kayla's a genuinely good backstage interviewer for the robotic interviewer nonsense that they have to do. But she had some chef's kiss segues, including this one, where she says, well, the tag titles could change hands at Extreme Rules. Speaking of titles changing hands, R-Truth.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't have scripted that. after this, we got still the worst told story in WWE, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, which, but for some reason, is still across two shows.
Well, that's because Bliss is going for the SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, but that means, why does it have to be on Raw then?
Because Alexa Bliss is a star and Bayley isn't.
It's the same with the Shane McMahon stuff. It's not a good story anyway. And now it's on twice a week, exposing it more.
And once again, where was Roman in all of that?
Yeah. Well, where is Roman Reigns? He's promoting his...
GQ.
I think it's some iced tea beverage is what I read. That's what he's promoting. So Alexa Bliss tells Nikki Cross backstage that she can host the Moment of Bliss segment coming up next. And I've written here, oh, so that's how they make it worse. And Nikki comes out. And she announces to the crowd, before I get started, I just want to say, I love you, Alexa Bliss. And I'm just thinking, you look like such an idiot. And I know that's the point of her character, that she's being duped. But in that scenario, I'm meant to feel sympathy for her. And I don't.
And the people, and I was actually on board with this for a while, that thought, it's not Alexa that's working Nikki, it's Nikki that's working Alexa. If it turns out that it is all Nikki just working Alexa, it makes Nikki look even worse, because she is sat on TV going like, I think she's wonderful, I love her.
Yeah.
But actually, before she got to that though, she said, you may notice I have an accent, so I'm going to speak slowly for you so you can understand me. And it wasn't played for like comedy, it wasn't played for sort of an endearing thing, it wasn't played for yucks. It literally felt like Vince had said to us, like, no one can understand what you're saying.
So what?
You go out there and speak, explain why no one can understand your weird accents, and just speak very, very slowly.
Yeah. It came out bad.
Yeah.
But it got worse because Bayley came out. It's neither of them are good. Well, Nikki Cross is very good at performing and acting, but in her character. This isn't her character. It's some weird bastardization of someone else's character that's been retrofitted into an Alexa Bliss storyline. So Bayley is out there. She's pretty wooden most of the time, let's be honest. And Nikki's there as well, not doing her own character stuff. and they just have this just wooden exchange. I've written GCSE drama level of acting here. GCSE is like, you know, 16-year-old actors at school.
Yeah, and not the good kind, like in Harry Potter.
And it, and Bailey says, like, well, I should be facing you, Nikki Cross, rather than Alexa. And Cross is like, well, no, we should be facing each other right now. Because Cross beat Bailey last week, right?
That's right, yes. To earn Alexa Bliss a title shot.
50-50 booking.
Absolutely, because Bailey beat her. And Nikki, in a nice character moment, I suppose you could say, after the match, was like apologizing to an Alexa Bliss you couldn't even see. Like, she was just saying there, going like, I'm so, or looking towards the background, like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Wish the cameras had focused on it a little bit more, and actually thought it was quite a nice character moment.
I felt she was talking to me. Because Nikki Cross knows how bad this storyline is. I'm sorry, Ollie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're having to sit through this twice a week now.
Yeah.
Shout out to the excellent guy, Support Wrestle Talk t-shirt in the front row.
Oh, yes.
The black edition. You can get that on Wrestle Talk Shop.
Not the Wham edition.
Yep, there's this white version here. Is it Wrestle Talk Shop?
I've no idea.
I've got to sort out the merch solution, really. Do you know, Andy?
What, the website?
Yeah.
Big Cartel.
Nah, that's no, the that's, magazine.
That's the magazine.
It's not all in one place, helpfully. I think it's just called Wrestle Talk Shop.
But a quick shout out to Love Machine on Discord, who was the person who sent me the screenshot of the person in the crowd.
That's in our news today.
Yeah.
They've given us a new banner.
Hmm.
Look at that. I should really look at this. look at that now.
Business over here.
You go over to WrestleTalkShop.com and you can look as cool as that guy in the front row.
Yeah.
These aren't us as models. Look at that guy's beard.
It's Goldberg, isn't it?
So yeah, at least just go and look at the models there. Right.
We're
so after
good at hawking our own
after,
stuff.
I just get uncomfortable. But I do want you to buy everything. Then we got Mustafa Ali and a really, really good promo.
I think these promos are wicked. Really, really good. I'm going to get to bat for these. I really, really like them.
Did you see the Stomping Grounds one?
I have not.
Well, that...
It was replayed last week. And it was funny because, it's, as someone pointed out in the comments, it's Captain Hindsight.
Yeah, he doesn't help anyone.
No, he's a terrible Batman. But it's... I thought this one was really, really good. And I like the way, and we've said this since, like, Ali, he's been doing this also in, like, March, sort of April time.
I think further back. I think December, when he was Daniel Bryan's handpicked guy to start working with as a heel.
I thought it was later than that, but I might be mistaken. I thought it was after he got injured, and then he got the Randy Orton
injury.
No,
it was before then.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not as far back as December, but it's one of those things that's great, so they drop it intermittently and then bring it back a couple of months later.
But it's like all of his promos seem to be shot in Chicago, where it's cold and it's miserable and there's crime and whatnot, and he's just got, like, wearing, you know, hoodies and stuff, and he just looks freezing cold, but he's passionate about it, and it's just shot like no one else's promos are shot.
Did you just say Chicago?
Yeah. CM Punk return confirmed.
I mean, maybe. But yeah, it was really nicely filmed. And it feels unique to him. Like, it's not just the style of delivery that makes a unique promo. It's how it's presented. And I just thought it wasn't only his delivery, it was the content of this as well, where he was talking about changing people's minds, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Change your mind.
Change your mind. You'll see a WWE champion that looks like you, and that'll change your mind. You'll see a WWE champion with a name like yours, and it'll change your mind.
Genuinely inspirational.
Great stuff.
Really, really good.
But, you know, and I say this in the review, I'm hoping it's going to lead to something. But then again, I was excited for Buddy Murphy on SmackDown. It's been 12 weeks, and we've had bugger all.
He's walking around trying to find... He's knocking on all the doors. It's like, what is... I want to fight you, Aleister Black. After that, we got Kofi Kingston and Samoa Joe having a face-to-face. Kayla Braxton's in the ring to MC this. Are the other robots on holiday? And they do some more Raw replays to show what happened yesterday when Joe attacked Kofi. And I said to you earlier, Kofi's in the ring, Kayla's there, and Joe walks into the ring and essentially says, Kayla, you're going to have to F off now.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sodding off out the ring.
Yeah.
But actually, I thought it was nicer than that, because it's like, in the interest of collateral damage, it's probably safer if you get out the ring.
It was awesome.
And actually, that's credit to Joe, because Joe's, like, his material here was the material we've heard from Kevin Owens, the same material we've heard from Dolph Ziggler, which is, you've used the New Day to get to the top. You use the New Day to keep the championship. You use the New Day. I've heard all of this before. Like, it's pretty much since he won the belt. Actually, even before then, because Daniel Bryan was cutting these promos as well. Mm. But it felt so genuine coming out of Joe's mouth. He made so much better of this material than Dolph and Kevin did. And I really, really liked his delivery.
Yeah, said it yesterday. He's such an intense performer that he can be booked terribly for years, which he has been for years, and you pop him in a main event feud, he gets his teeth into it. Holy moly, it's one of my favorite programs in WWE, which is this has quickly become, especially after this segment. I thought this was very, very good.
It was good. Really, really good. And there was a really nice moment as well when he offers a handshake.
Mm.
And the handshake isn't just, by you shaking your hands, you're admitting that you are lesser than I am. But it's a promise. If you shake my hand, I won't hurt the people that you love the most. And it felt like a genuine threat. And it almost made me wish that this, A, had a longer run feud, because I don't think this is going to be running past Extreme Rules, because I think we're going to be getting towards the SummerSlam period there when Shane's going to win the belt. I don't think he is. And but we could have had weeks of Joe being like, you could have stopped this. Or like attacking people that he loves and be like, I'm not at fault here. You should have shook my hand.
Yeah. And Kofi, usually, it was an interesting character moment for Kofi in that I think just a month or two ago, he would have shook that hand because he is all about doing the right thing for everybody. I would say his character is. But yeah, he goes to shake his hand. He thinks about it. He's very tormented. It was a very good performance from both guys. But then he just brings his hand up and he does some kind of hand signal. I couldn't see what it was because the camera was very unpurposely placed behind Samoa Joe's head.
Yeah.
So you can say bitch. Corey Graves can say S.
Yeah. Which we're not allowed to YouTube and do not like it.
But you can't show a middle finger yet.
Yet. Wait till Eric Bischoff gets in charge.
Yeah. I really liked it. I did think it just took me out of it a bit when I couldn't see the middle finger.
Yeah.
Because then it made me think, oh, it's fake. You know, because the camera knew where to be. So, yeah. But other than that, I thought it was very good. Joe's performance in particular. Joe went for him as soon as he did the middle finger and Kofi hit him with the Trouble in Paradise. But Joe's done so... I don't want to sound too, you know... He's done something with his hair, hasn't he?
It's more like comb back. It's less floofy.
It looks great.
Yeah.
I feel like this is part of the... You know, maybe he's consciously thought, I need to revamp myself a bit. And sometimes just small tweaks of the hair can do that.
Absolutely, yeah. As I said, like, also I wished actually this feud had been given longer to run so we could have seen this really destructive side of Joe blaming Kofi Kingston for his actions. But the reality is we've only got one more week of build.
Yeah.
Because it's extreme. God, it's Extreme Rules next Sunday.
Oh, I must say as well, Kofi is such a good promo. He said, Joe's ass is so big, you can't play hide and seek. And it didn't make me groan too much. But then he also had a really cool bit after Joe started bringing Kofi's kids into it. He says, oh, this is the part where you trash my family.
Yeah.
So calling out Joe's repetitiveness as well in a way that didn't undermine Joe's own promo.
You're just jealous, Joe.
Yeah. Jealous Joe. Yeah. And if Roman Reigns said that, I'd be like, I'm done with this goddamn company. But Kofi, still fresh. I like him organically.
Yeah.
Heavy Machinery had a promo.
This is with not Renee.
Ah, yes. There it was.
There it was, yeah. And she said, and I quote, Kofi Kingston's championship match is certainly going to be very competitive. Speaking of championships.
Segway! But they just talk about how close they are.
They're brothers. Yeah.
Then we got another replay of the Strowman versus Lashley spot. We should have a Raw replay counter. But this is good that they're doing it for this spot because it was so spectacular. And they had a video update from Lashley from a basic-looking medical room that was quite obviously just a room backstage.
It was the same office on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, I'm bruised up, but Braun was worse off from it. They're saying he's got a ruptured spleen and a few other breaks here and there. Next time he sees the son of a bitch...
I'm going to put him in the morgue.
Yeah, the crowd get... Ooh! But I wonder when it gets to the point where the bitch doesn't get a reaction anymore. Because the reason it does is because WWE have been very restrained and have hardly used that kind of language for 10 years.
But, you know, we can expect Bischoff, because one thing he's very good at is seeing when something isn't over anymore and continuing to do it. We also had Apollo Crews walking down a hallway with an Abby the Witch cameo.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they're hot on that momentum, isn't it? You're still sticking by that? That this is the best thing to do for Bray Wyatt's new character?
I never said it was the best thing to do. I said
it's
a thing to do. Hey, at least they're doing something. I think it's a nice way to bleed it into reality. But it would have been better if it was a one-week thing as opposed to a two-week thing.
Mm. So Apollo took on Andrade after a few weeks of them both flirting, I would say, backstage.
Have they?
Yeah, there's been like Apollo's been looking for Vega. You've been in Peru.
Oh, okay, because this wasn't on last week's show.
Yeah. Like Apollo's been looking for Andrade and Andrade hasn't been there. Andrade's, I think his mother died in real life.
Mother and aunt died. And just a quick note, everyone in the US did see the middle finger.
Really?
Hmm. Interesting, everyone saying that. Glad I didn't bring up in my review then.
Mm. And they... Yeah, so Andrade hasn't been around, so Apollo's effectively been building this feud.
Okay.
Aleister Black style.
Right.
Just looking.
I see.
Looking around backstage. They had a decent match. It was over pretty quick when Vega attacked Apollo and that let Andrade get the win. But Apollo's so good.
Yeah.
Just the flips he can do. I feel like wrestling has passed him by now, though. The impressive things he can do now aren't that impressive because Ricochet exists in WWE.
But Apollo is, like, you know, more muscly than he is, so maybe that makes him more impressive.
Maybe.
But it's, to be honest, it's Andrade that I feel the most sorry for because, like a lot of the guys on SmackDown, he just feels directionless at the moment. Because, as we were saying on last week's ramble that you weren't here for, me and Pete did it, from the why a lot of SmackDown guys feel directionless is because a Raw star is going for their women's title and a Raw star is going for their WWE title. So it's just Raw star and Omnishane is a Raw storyline, but it's the biggest thing on SmackDown. Braun and Bobby this week almost treat like that was so much bigger than anything that was happening on SmackDown. That's a Raw storyline. So it was like SmackDown guys have just got nothing to do.
The Omnishane is technically a SmackDown storyline on paper. Because Reigns and Shane are SmackDown
but
guys.
Shane's Raw. Well, he's the Omni Shane. He's across both shows. But Drew's Raw, and so is The Undertaker.
Mm, yeah. I agree with nitpicking that. So one thing you might have missed then in the last couple of weeks is Chad Gable's involvement in this feud.
I thought he went to 205 Live.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that same night, I think that was the first time Apollo and Andrade had a backstage interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Andrade walks off. Apollo looks round and Chad Gable's just there making notes.
Oh.
Like this. That's for 3 seconds. He did the same the week after. I don't know if he did it last week.
He didn't.
And yeah, there's no Chad here. Chad Gable didn't come out. He wasn't making notes at all.
I feel like those 2 weeks when I was away were like multi-universe sort of things.
Yeah.
Because when I came back, I assumed that the Bobby and Braun thing had been going on since Super Showdown. You told me that's not the case. They felt like there was loads of stories that hadn't been followed up on in those sort of 2 weeks, but then were just treated like they'd always been happening when I got back.
Yeah.
So it was only a little pocket universe where Chad Gable's still on SmackDown or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. So Chad Gable, one of the most talented guys in the company, doesn't have anything to do.
No.
Then Dolph and Kevin Owens agreed to go for the tag titles backstage. We talked about that. Then we've got Ember Moon walking backstage ahead of her match against Mandy Rose. Carmella just walks in and goes, and walks off.
It was so unimportant, I didn't make a note of it.
It was just weird. I was like, but I guess Carmella was kind of in the mix with Rose and Deville of Money in the Bank.
I was going to say they were feuding after Money in the Bank,
yeah.
I think, like for a bit, because they injured her in the match and then she stopped them from cheating to win.
Yeah. Maybe WWE think they're weaving this amazing tapestry because that technically makes sense. But it doesn't, it wasn't good because they haven't kept these plates spinning. Then we got the Aleister Black promo, which it's gone on too long by about a month.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still in his room, even though someone knocked last week. They just ran away when he went to answer the door.
That's what I mean. But like, so the person who knocked on the door then is going to look like such an idiot and such a chump because they knocked on the door for a fight and then ran away.
So he talks about the 7 layers of hell and how him and his eventual opponent are going to do that and then fight in purgatory forever. It's way past its expiration date, but I'm just looking for clues. He said they'll definitely have a match at Extreme Rules.
He did. He's laid out an open challenge for the person that knocked on the door. Did you see who WrestleVotes reported it was?
No.
So WrestleVotes reported last week that there have been a lot of names banded around for who his first feud is going to be with, but the name at the moment is Cesaro. But that's not confirmed. But that was the other thing. I was like, well, that's a Raw guy feuding with the SmackDown guy. Less stuff for the SmackDown guys to do.
When he said seven layers of hell, my two immediate thoughts there are three stages of hell match and best of seven series.
And if it's with Cesaro,
how does that end?
could be with Kane.
We could lead to
the bar too.
We could lead to them teaming with Big Show for a bit.
The Black Bar. So that's what's happening with Aleister Black. Absolutely nothing. Then we got the Ember Moon versus Mandy Rose match. I'm just happy I can see Ember Moon wrestle. I just really like the way she wrestles.
And me too. It's the blandest thing in WWE. My notes are Mandy dominates, Ember wins.
Yeah. There was nothing. Sonya didn't even do a distraction outside.
No.
So that's that.
There wasn't even a follow-up to the storyline they were doing last week where they were like having their flirtations with each other.
Mm. Oh, yeah. The gay storyline dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reaching for titles last week.
And then, before the main event... Possibly the best bit. I'm surprised we didn't lead with this, just so we can put it on a thumbnail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a green screen interview with Shelton Benjamin, in that the background is just a solid colour that's obviously been keyed out. And someone off camera asks Shelton what he thinks of the WWE Championship at Extreme Rules. And Shelton then looks everywhere with a kind of smile on his face, like me farting behind the Omni
Shade. That's what I thought of.
And then he just stops and slides off the screen.
But he does like this little smile as well. The smile that you do just before the fart noise happens.
Look, I'm not saying WWE watch the show. In fact, I don't think they do. But it is weird how Seth Rollins apologized the day after I had a go at him yesterday. And now this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird. This was so weird.
Weird segment.
So, first off, why is someone talking to Shelton about the WWE title?
When's this been a thing?
And then someone pointed out on Reddit, Shelton and Brock Lesnar are friends. That isn't really something that's ever been built up on TV. But I know Shelton Benjamin did come in for that match against Seth a couple of months ago before WrestleMania. But come on. That's like having Carmella point at Mandy Rose.
It's the tapestry you were referring to. It's this beautiful tapestry.
So the idea is he knows that Brock's going to cash in. And now we can have him and Heyman both tease that Brock's around. I don't know what's going on there.
No idea.
But I am curious. overall, I thought it was a... It was an... I certainly didn't hate it. There wasn't anything I really like. No. Kevin Owens' promo Dolph Ziggler.
I didn't hate anything on the show. It's just everything that was on the more or less everything that was on the show was like, eh.
Well, you know what? Actually, having said that, there's a lot to like. There is the Owens promo on Ziggler.
Yep.
The Owens face turn, which, you know, take it as it is. There was the Mustafa Ali promo and the Kofi and Joe face-to-face. Heavy Machinery getting a main event spot and Otis winning and that crazy Shelton Benjamin bit.
Which is why I didn't give it like a SmackDowner. Because I think that would be very unfair to give this show a SmackDowner. But it was a 3 out of 5 show. I want to say like it's not just the bar though, because the bar then suggests that if your show is meh, then that's okay.
Totally.
You've totally passed that. But I think it was mostly better than meh, because there were a few things on there that I really liked.
Well, let's get over to your super chats to see what you think with Randy Andy Dawson.
Yes, we will. Apparently Buddy Murphy was in an advert.
That doesn't count. It doesn't count. It doesn't count.
So, yeah, Buddy Murphy was in an advert break. And it's been on the, it's on the YouTube channel. It
doesn't count. It doesn't count.
Why do they keep putting these YouTube clips of Dana Brooke telling the crowd to flex?
Because then we
it's
can
have, every week.
Because then people can say, "Oh, you they did see you. They did debut. You just didn't see it."
Yeah. JX531, thank you for your double donation.
Thank you very much.
Jared Gruber says, "First time watching live, which means my first super chat. You guys make my day every day with your awesome content. Keep up the good work."
Thank you very
Gruber.
Much. That's good that stuff. Very thank you very much.
Eric Matthews Jr. says, "Watching from Baltimore, MD, Maryland, of course, as we learned. Thank you guys.
Thank you. Thanks thank you for watching."
Easy EHBK says, "Pledgehammer Ethan Frost here. The club versus the Undisputed Era, please."
So we were talking about yesterday, weren't we? If you turn Finn heel, where was he on this show? Mm-hmm. After teasing his feud with Shinsuke Nakamura last week. Absolutely nothing was made mention of it. Or, actually, for that matter, the Kabuki Warriors versus the Iconics, which I think is supposed to be happening at Extreme Rules.
That would be extreme.
Because they set up a storyline. Again, I think this is on the YouTube channel. It's never been mentioned on TV, so I don't know this for certain. But Paige challenged the Iconics for while they're in Japan. If the Kabuki Warriors beat them,
yes,
they'll get a title shot, right? Did they beat them?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so there is a title shot. Yeah. It's not on the website.
Paige is going to tweet the next week. Oh, it's going to be a death fire. It's going to be an inferno death match between the Iconics and the Kabuki Warriors.
It just really made me laugh because then she had the interview with Purveyor of Lies, The Sun, where she said she's got so many frustrations with the creative team because they don't put them on TV, even though they've got this tag title feud and this tag title program, but they do nothing with. But then she goes, "But you know, when you speak to Vince and Triple H, they get it changed." I'm like, bollocks, no, you don't. Why aren't you on TV then? Why aren't you on TV?
JDW Spider 2 says, "Undertaker turns Drew into the Undertaker, retires."
Yeah, sure. And Chuck Sting in, Bailey Sting in there as well.
Because as we've known, doing repeats of old gimmicks really
and
gets
you
over.
Sasha Banks as Badass Taker as well, so then they can do a mixed match challenge together. Viking Wayne says, "First time Super Chat and new Pledgehammer." Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoy all the extra content.
I think he is the Norwegian Viking on Patreon. Jesse Venable says, "Enjoying both styles and Bryan as heels, ready for the Wyatt debut. Wish Harper would join Bryan too. Three-man factions add up for Ollie's six-man title debut."
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a shame that Harper's been contractually stifled. Yeah.
Carlos Lima, you were there, says, "You are all awesome every week. Just wanted to suggest Smacknificent for a 5-star SmackDown rating instead of SmackDam. Love." Oh, he's done lots of emojis that I don't understand. "Love you guys 3000.
I like Smacknificent.
Love you 3000.
That is good.
I like Smack. Maybe it's just my, there should be some more like SmackDam. To really put it over. So I was going to say SmackDam.
Dan from Pensacola, Florida. That's where Roman must have been. "Hi guys, I'm in a meeting at work. Got you." See, I don't understand what's the point then. "Got you guys muted and hidden under my desk. I'm being a rebel. Yeehaw! Can you give me your loudest and best yeehaw?"
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! But it's muted, so
muted and under the desk. So he's just got his phone out.
It's almost like a philosophical, existential question. Are we actually on?
Are we just draining battery? Yeah.
Are we here?
Killing his data.
Tim, he might be on Wi-Fi.
That's true. If he's at work, I hope so. Tim Arndt says, "Seth and Will squashed their Twitter feud, I see."
Mm-hmm. Well, Seth's squashed his end of it.
And then, oh, no, Will accepted.
Buy me a Nando's.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. Nando's pending.
The Fighting Hobbit. "Poor Dolph sells too hard. Dude looked like he got hit by a crossbow bolt and just crumpled. I think it holds him back from getting pushed enough."
No. Dolph Selling's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of his best strengths.
Reality says, "Hope KO gets a chance as a face this time."
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. The character's side is there, hopefully.
I'd go to amend that to, "I hope Kevin Owens gets a chance, full stop."
Period, yeah. Frankie Ray says, "Benjamin involved in the main event, Extreme Rules.
Make it a quadruple six-pack
challenge."
Whatever. Yeah. I'm sure Shane's got it.
Shane announced something beforehand. Dustin Gooding says, "A Wrestle Talk is the best in the
world.
Oh, I did it the wrong way around. I just flipped it to me when I pointed at you.
World.
Good
world. Oh, so we're fine.
Rajan says, Taker Drew and Bayley Sting for mixed match challenge. I didn't even read that. That's crazy. Yeah. Me and Ronce have our...
I think we're getting Taker Drew at SummerSlam.
Yeah. But not Taker Drew.
No.
Taker versus Drew.
Yeah. I'm Taker slash Drew. Yeah.
Can you imagine Taker trying to pick up Drew for a tombstone? He's going to fall over backwards.
Drew's just going to... If it was me, I'd just have Drew hit him with the Claymore and pin.
Yeah.
Drew can wrestle himself. Yeah. But he'll find some way to take that tombstone.
He won't have Matt Riddle calling him the worst wrestler in the world on Twitter.
Minato... Oh, Matt Riddle versus Drew McIntyre.
Matt Riddle versus anyone, in all fairness.
Minato Dono says, long-time watcher, first-time donator. Seriously, guys, thank you for the amazing work to get me through my shifts. Seriously, you guys are the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
Did you see Booker T buried Matt Riddle by saying he's like he's not very good. He's a lot more work after Booker T had a...
He's working us.
Yeah. It's that Corey Graves thing all over again.
Will Adams, who is Luke Owens' number one fan, says, which one is better? It should have been me or Give Me What I Want.
Give me what I want.
Hands down, Give Me What I Want.
Batista's the man.
Jonathan Hedman says, World Breaker, when he was referencing me, was referencing the Nerf throw.
Right.
I thought that might be it.
Yeah.
I do throw it so hard, it just craters in.
I have noticed there's a Nerf thing in the office.
That's specifically why he got it, I think.
Yeah, I put it there just in case I need to throw it across the room. I can't
do that.
Across
the country.
Yeah. Just wait. I give it 2 weeks before Andy pitches that we make a video of him throwing the Nerf. I know this is where it's going.
No, it's genuinely... I hadn't even thought about that. No, but it's in case the police...
I'm going to get more subscribers. Actually, you know what? If we get to 750,000 subscribers, we'll make a video of Andy throwing the Nerf thing as far as he humanly can.
This is a very weird thing if you don't listen to the podcast, because this was in the podcast outro. So head over to the podcast to hear the story about Andy and the Nerf thing.
Basically, I can throw a Nerf vortex quite far.
Well, we've got to do it by the end of July, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't get the video.
Absolutely.
So spread the word, get the subscribe drive going, because I'm not going to help.
I'll tweet a spoiler. Jonathan Berube says, Bray to answer Black. That's one we've had a lot of times before, I guess.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah.
Chris Merriman, in response to Word People at SmackDown, says, there were actually quite a few people there. They blocked off the top rung of the stadium to compress everyone, but compared to recent photos of events, it was a good showing. I would guess maybe around 5,000.
That's pretty good.
Apparently, Raw was better as well, but it's Dallas, so they're quite well attended there.
Meltzer made that point of just like, because it was Tacoma last week, Tacoma, Washington, which was also the same site in which that infamous WCW championship match happened between Booker T and Buff Bagwell that killed all the plans for WCW. And he was just like, so really, Tacoma is now responsible for killing WCW or WWE's version of it and for bringing back Heyman and Bischoff.
Cody Lott says, hi guys, thank you for watching WWE so I don't.
Yeah. Our pleasure.
Jobber kind of. JJ says, Truth wants his title back. When was the last time a wrestler wanting their title back, putting over the 24/7 title rules?
Yeah, I've never seen wrestlers want to win their title back. So actually, granted, Joe didn't want to win back the US title. He went for a bigger one.
Ryan Cluett says, they're pushing Seth and Becky's relationship so much, I'm beginning to think they are just together in storyline only.
No, I think they're really together.
No, they are.
And they don't want to be pushed on TV.
That's it.
Pretty much.
As a couple, they want to be pushed on TV separately. Mm.
My best friend Adam Pearson says, who in WWE would you flip off and why?
Just you got to go straight for the big guy, right? Triple H. Yeah. I just even though I admire a lot of what he's done.
I thought you meant Babatunde. Yeah. William Buena, thank you for your donation. Mega Mr. 46 says, I miss Ollie wearing the jacket. It makes him look more stylish than Kramer the Pimp.
One day I'll win it back. It's coming up to a year now.
Jonathan Hedman says, Black versus Wyatt, knock on the door, let him in.
No, because you need both men to get a win.
Yeah.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, Jonathan. Justin Duncan says, you should trade the trophy for a belt.
This one.
But this is so prestigious.
And also way better.
It's so heavy.
It's 24 karat gold.
Yeah.
And it's got a trophy emoji on it.
The wrapper is that, yeah. that wraps around it. Yeah.
Four more for now then, or for today. Trenton Brown says, so did the Buddy Murphy segment not count? Well, it doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. Different continuity on the YouTube channel.
Tim Arndt, thank you for your donation.
Thank you very much.
Tomo says, love everybody at WrestleTalk. Do you love me, Beck?
Of course we do.
We love every single person.
You are so generous,
and
we love all of you.
I thought that the way we all say Tomo whenever we hear your name would communicate.
Two more then. Devante Lee says, it's my 21st birthday tomorrow. Can't wait to get drunk and watch fireworks and then Mondays and Tuesdays so I can actually enjoy the shows. Well, I hope, Devante, as you are from America, this is the first time you will ever be drinking because it's your 21st birthday tomorrow. Because otherwise, if you're drunk beforehand, should be arrested.
Absolutely, yeah. We've never taken part in underage drinking whatsoever.
No.
The three people in this room, absolutely not.
July 4th, though. Watch out, aliens. Coming for you.
And lastly...
Happy birthday.
Yes,
America.
Tomorrow. Andrew A. is the last one who says, what was your first pay-per-view live event? Mine was the 2009 The Bash. And do you remember that pay-per-view, Randy versus Orton?
Ooh,
that doesn't make any sense. Who was it?
I'm a Scooby-Doo.
In a three stages of hell match.
Honestly, God, if you ask any pay-per-view from 2009, I wouldn't be able to name you a single main event.
John Cena and Randy Orton.
Cena, Randy Orton, that would be my guess. Cena, Randy Orton had
And just Scyther has popped in to say, would you guys be interested in seeing a Matt Hardy version 2 on SmackDown, a Broken Hardy on AEW? Super impressed with this Raw and SmackDown.
I'd love to see it just for the contractual impossibility of it.
Yes.
But we didn't answer the other guy's question about first ever live
pay-per-view. First ever live pay-per-view was Backlash 2000, which was Triple H versus The Rock with the McMahons in Triple H's corner and Austin in The Rock's corner with Shane as the special guest referee.
Because we're in the UK, I never would watch them live until uni. Mm. It was, what's the Elimination Chamber, or No Way Out, I think it was, when Edge speared Kofi to get in the...
Oh, another one you mean, yeah,
2008?
It's because he lost the title earlier in the night
Great night-long narrative. But that would be my one, actually.
It would have been one of the Royal Rumbles, but I can't remember.
And there was also, to answer the question, we could have Broken Matt in AEW because they trademarked Woken Matt so that he could do Broken on the independent circuit if he ever left. So he could do...
But he couldn't do Matt version 2 at WWE at the same time. Is that what he was asking?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, at the same time... Oh, okay.
Broken Sean Spears.
This comes in from All Dave Airy Dave.
Airy Dave.
It's all one word as well.
All Dave Very Dave.
No. All Dave, ALLDAVEERRYDAVE. All Dairy Dave.
All Dairy Dave.
All Dave. No, it's all Davery Dave. All Davery Dave.
All Davery Dave.
Yes.
All Dairy Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
I've been rewatching League of Gentlemen. I mentioned that on the podcast yesterday, didn't I? And I had this when we were doing a Patreon shout out, and all of a sudden I felt myself falling into Alice Klar, Justine. Alice Klar. The German exchange shirt. Who's a paedophile?
Mm.
Anyway, Dave Drummond has emailed in to say, good day, Luke and Ollie, brackets, not Randy. My wife tolerates my love of wrestling. There are times I've been not... My wife tolerates my love of wrestling. There are times I've been able to get her to enjoy it, which is nice. She had a blast in person at the NWA 70th anniversary show here in Nashville, and over the last year has actually become a huge fan of Becky Lynch, though she does agree that WWE has been doing nonsense as of late. Last night, she had a rare night off, and I told her, I'm skipping Raw so we can have some quality time together.
Mistake.
Her response, without missing a beat, was, you mean because it's crap now? I laughed, and I started to defend it, while deep inside agreeing with her, only to say to her, I mean, it's not that new thing, AEW, which I could understand. It's Raw. I started to explain how I've been watching since I was young, going on 30 years. With that much history, you just kind of keep watching, even though you know it's junk, because... Well, it's wrestling, and well, sometimes it's great. Her gem of a comment that sparked me to send this email was, oh, so you're in an abusive relationship with WWE. She's not wrong, and I know you and Ollie can relate to it all too well. So thank you, WrestleTalk, for sharing in my pain and being part of a support group of people who are surviving this abusive relationship together. Much love from the States, All Day Very Dave.
All Day Very Dave.
All Day Very Dave.
I obviously...
Oh, I would look at night to use your toilet, Dave.
We should point out that this is a comedic observation, and we are no way comparing really a proper abusive relationship between two people and our relationship with wrestling.
My wife says your toilet's blocked, Dave.
It was a joke. But I've been saying this for years. It's and CM Punk even tweeted in reply to someone's question about this. You know, he said, I think his tweet, he was getting sick about him tweeting about movies and hockey, and people would just reply and fill up his replies with, when you're coming back to wrestling.
You get to AEW.
Yeah, AEW return confirmed. And, you know, which I feel sympathy for the guy. But then he also posted a few directly trolling AEW move teases.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So he kind of brought it on yourself. But
victim blaming?
He had one reply to someone who said, like that this fan said, but we know how good it can be, and like isn't that true loyalty and hope and optimism that you sit around and you wait for something to amaze you and make you have that connection with your childhood again when you loved wrestling with completely clear vision? And Punk just tweet replied that, quote replied it, and said, Stockholm Syndrome, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that that's true of media. I was watching Lindsay Ellis's latest video on, she did a video on Game of Thrones, which, I mean, I've never seen, like, but I very much appreciate her viewpoint of film criticism and TV criticism. So I wanted to see what she had to say about the whole thing. And she kind of recapped, she basically said, like, there'll be people who are watching this video that have never seen it, but more likely there are people who are watching this that stopped watching it, because that's the comment I hear more than people who didn't watch it in the first place. So for those people, here is a recap from start to end. And there's a point where she gets to where she's like, this is awesome, this is awesome, this is awesome. Then it's like, please God help me. I just want to die. This is awful. This is dreadful. And but she kept saying the point, we're all sticking around because it's going somewhere, right? We're all sticking around. We're forgiving a lot of these bad choices because we know it's going to go better, right? We're going to stick around with this. So I think that's actually true. It's not just wrestling. I think there's a media thing in general that we sometimes just kind of like get tribalism towards a show and then or a product, and we just stick with it even when it's bad.
Sports teams. Weezer.
It's the ultimate example.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. When I was driving up to my parents' house in Herefordshire last weekend, Say It Ain't So came on my iPod Shuffle. And
what a great song.
And that's it. And as the song finished, I just said out loud to the car, I'm angry at Weezer sometimes.
Mm.
Because I know they could do this again.
He could pull them out. Rivers can pull those tunes out.
He could do that in his sleep. But it's almost like he chooses not to.
Yeah. Because that's not what he wants to do. It's like you've got the greatest pop hook indie emo writer ever, and all he wants to do is make big anthemic pop hooks with beautiful people and rappers.
Yes. But worse still...
But he's not good at that.
And worse still is I could possibly make the argument, I might have to go back and check, but Weezer haven't made a dreadfully terrible album. They've just made consistently mediocre albums, and that's actually more annoying.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, their albums will always have one or two bangers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of those album tracks are...
Stinkers.
Are bad.
Yeah. Absolute stinkers. This email comes in from Scott, who said, I stumbled across the first week's sales data of the last six WWE game releases.
Mm.
If you draw parallels to TV ratings, it negates the whole, quote, there are more ways to get content argument. There are simply fewer fans, period. The outlier here is 2K14, which is the first 2K-produced WWE game. So we send a loss to the... And it's like WWE 2K15, in its first 6 weeks, had 577,000 copies sold, while 2K19 had 364,000 copies sold.
So that's probably a drop-off of around 30 to 35%.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that correlates to the viewership drop-off of WWE's
which I
overall
think
product.
Is a very interesting argument, but I would also say there's a possibility that 2K have just made a lot of bad games and people stopped buying them.
Unless they want to sponsor us, in which case They're great games.
Sorry, I need to see.
And
that,
the next one's going to be even better.
What's that cultaholic quote? It's the best 2K game of the best WWE game in decades. We'll yeah. just we'll happily
it's the best
say that.
2K game this year.
Let's have. Okay. So this comes in. So and now I think we're sort of in this period now of our emails, which are post ham.
Ah, post ham. PH.
Yes. So this actually comes in from Blake Ham's number one fan.
Ah. Who is that?
Abhiram.
Abhiram. Blake Abhiram. He's even yes. changed part of his name to the Ham.
Blake Abhiram. Who says, hey, Blake Ham, the man, the myth, the legend.
Okay, this new rule. Anyone who emails in about Blake Ham has to put Ham at the end of their own name. It's like a mark of respect.
This is Blake Ham's number one fan. Yes, I'll be reminding you every email, and I won't be greeting anyone else except Blake Ham. I've now decided to follow in Ham's footsteps. Here are 80% facts about me, two of which are true.
Mm.
I've almost unintentionally burned down a building.
Ooh.
I've almost.
Almost.
Died. I've almost died five times. I've almost and unintentionally killed someone.
Wow, this is dark. How many more are there?
That's it. So it's
three. Oh, wow. So two are true of those three.
Apparently so. Here, two of these are true. So take your guesses. Also, I think you should start a thing in the intro and outro doing two truths and a lie. Blake Ham sort of started this, so it's only befitting that it's this thing should be named after him. Come up with a name for it, Ham Nation. In case you're wondering, it's not Swaff Nation anymore. It's the Ham Nation now. Blake Ham has already started taking this place over. Signing off, Blake Ham's number one fan, Abhiram.
He's a piece of crap. I always thought Blake Ham, the Black Ham. It's his evil twin. Blake Ham
his finisher.
Was my so what, with a giant joint of ham.
But on his foot.
Yeah.
So he just kicks you with a joint of ham.
I always thought Blake Ham was more of a Wrestle Talk Get Better icon that we could all move towards.
Yeah.
As a human race to become Blake Ham.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it swiveling off into this 80% fact direction.
Well, I was going to say, but I think this is just Abhiram's taking it in this direction. This is not like a trend. This is one person.
I feel like we have to define almost as well.
Yeah, because I've probably almost killed someone accidentally.
Into the microphone, Andy, if you will.
I've probably almost killed someone accidentally. I've set a piece of paper on fire, and if I dropped it, it might have set the house on fire.
Randy is here saying that he's done it better than you.
No. I'm saying Abhiram. Saying almost is.
Yeah. That's this. And then some people do say they just, you know, start stories.
Like,
with,
I was crossing the road once and then someone pulled me back because there was a car coming. So I almost died. Actually, I didn't really almost die.
Yeah.
I may have realized that I was about to get hit by a car anyway.
I remember reading an article once about sort of like the curse of Friday the 13th, as in like why it's considered to be such a spooky day. And one of the stories was just like there was a meteorite that was heading towards Earth and it missed us by like, you know, 15 million miles or whatever it was. But it almost hit us. I did this on a radio show when I used to do local radio. My co-host was like, so the story is something almost happened and it didn't. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, I'll almost be scared then.
But like, you know, you write an listicle and you need another entry to make it 10.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to reach that poor person writing that article.
They did indeed.
So which two are true? I'm going to go with not killing people.
I'm going to go with the first two as well.
Yeah.
And actually, that's what I'm hoping for. I don't really want to have. I don't really want to say like I nearly killed someone. I'm going to email into a podcast and tell them about it.
Yeah, we need better facts, Abraham.
Is that not Abraham?
Ham.
Right. So, what shall we have here? Oh, let's have this email here. A nice one to end on that says, hey, guys, I just wanted to reach out real quick and thank you for all the hard work you guys put in. Legitimately, I look forward to every Wrestle Ramble stream and then the intros and outros afterwards. It's my favorite part of the channel. Being 19 years old, you'd think I've been a fan for wrestling for... Being 19 years old, you'd think that I haven't been a fan of wrestling for that long, but I've been consistently watching WWE for almost 12 years. Ever since the YWC became popular. I'm going to guess that's a YouTube wrestling community.
YWC?
I've only ever known the IWC.
Yeah.
Shows my age.
Yeah, it must be the YouTube wrestling community.
Must be, yeah. Mm. Which I didn't know was a thing until I started working.
But is that 12 years old?
For almost 12 years, so minus 19.
Ever since?
So 7.
Yeah. Hmm.
I've been flip-flopping between podcasts and personalities. I even used to co-host a popular podcast that reviews WWE shows, but no one, in my opinion, is more welcoming, friendly, and more fair than you guys. You're always top of fan feedback and interaction, can admit when you're wrong about certain things, except probably about walking, and I can selfishly bring you guys have helped me form a relationship with Crystal, with whom I've been together now for over a year, in fact.
So wow.
You might remember this guy was the one that was...
This is the Bullet Club t-shirt.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
Over a year now.
They're still together.
Still together.
Ah, that's great news.
And isn't it just? Life is wonderful sometimes, isn't it? Which actually ties into his next sentence. Life is boring sometimes. Oh. And not everyone is responsive when you reach out to them, so it's always nice to have people to hear talk about something I love and then interact with me just like any other friend would. YouTube is hard. Trust me, I know. I upload one video a day with barely any edits, and it's hard keeping up with that sometimes. For you guys to do it multiple times a day, it's not only entertaining, it's inspiring. Long story short, thanks for being there. Thanks for encouraging me to keep pursuing YouTube. I'm very happy to be in the SWAF Nation.
Ah, oh, thank you very
much. I've kept that anonymous in case they didn't want it, their name sort of publicized on it. But you can go back into the archives and find that story.
Well, we should get invited to any form of wedding if it goes that far, and you should pay to fly us over, and then also a fee for appearances, which is grossly overcharged.
But also fair. I think we're going to draw this to a close so we can get on with the actual show, because we're going to go record the SmackDown review now. But thank you so much for listening. Laurie and I will be back tomorrow with the NXT Wrestle Ramble, and then I think it'll be me and Pete doing the magazine show, because you're off.
I'm off to a wedding. I think I said it yesterday in yesterday's episode. Off to a wedding for 4 days. Back on Monday, off to Santorini.
Oh.
For a week.
Who's doing the news tomorrow?
I guess Pete.
The only reason I asked is because you said to me, he's like, you're doing the news on Friday, right? And I said, yeah, I am. So I figured that you had a plan in place and it wasn't going to be me doing
Pete,
both days.
Pete is on it. Pete is now the scheduling man.
He is indeed.
So I can actually tell you, I've got it open. Pete's doing it.
Lovely stuff. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.